everyone, and welcome to Minute 30 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a wild trip through the 1987 John Hughes comedy, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again to finish off the week on this lovely Friday in the middle of April is Jim O'Kane from lots of different Movies by Minute projects. Welcome back, Jim.
Yes. Thanks for having me. It's a great way to finish out the week. Snuggled up next to Steve Martin and John Candy. What a way to go.
The question is, where's your hand?
This is a great scene. I get the feeling this was one take. They just seem like it's hard to get this kind of energy of lunging at a bit. Well, we'll talk about the minute in a minute.
Talk about that in a second. Yeah. So the minute 30 begins with Del thinking of a response to Neil's important question from yesterday and ends with Neil once again being horrified. So basically we got the setup yesterday at the end of that minute where the two of them are snuggling in bed. They're both very comfortable until they actually realize where they are and what they're doing. They're spooning one another in this CD motel, and Del gives Neil a little kiss on the ear, and Neil then asks him, why did he do that? And tells him, where's his hand? And then he says, okay, where's your other hand? And today's episode begins with the response of, where is that other hand? And he says, between two pillows. And Neil just screams out, those aren't pillows. And I mean, this is one of the most iconic lines of the movie. There are a lot of them.
Yes.
But this is one of the most iconic ones for sure. And I remember when the 25-year anniversary DVD came out, they called it the Those Aren't Pillows edition. And that's actually the version that I have of this. So I just found it really funny that they decided to use that phrase, because that's a phrase that anyone who knows movies, if you hear the phrase Those Aren't Pillows, you're going to think of this movie.
Yeah. The thing I have to say about this minute, what cracks me up, and you don't notice this unless you're doing it as a Movies by Minute, is we get the wide shot in daytime of the whole hotel room, and there are two handprints on the wall on either side of the oil painting in the middle, and it's like you don't notice it. You're like, oh my gosh, what a hotel this was.
That's right. I wonder if you go back and if you can find it. You know, if you can actually see it or
yeah.
not.
Well, we'll leave that as an exercise for the listeners.
Apparently, yeah. And then the two of them just start screaming, and they both jump out of bed in complete disgust. Okay, and I love the way that they're like shaking themselves off and trying to get the ickiness off of them and stuff like that. You know, Neil starts waving his hands ferociously, like that's really going to help. And then Del actually wipes his hands on his pants, which again, that's not going to help either for doing this. And at this point, once again, you can see, as we mentioned earlier, Del has two pillows. So that mysterious pillow has returned. Okay.
Wow.
And then the reactions of both of these actors is just unbelievable, because you see them start by being completely disgusted and they're going, ew, 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 ew. And then they start, you see that their postures change. They make themselves feel as if they're being more macho and they're being more manly and stuff like that. And they start doing, they start moving their arms around, and they start doing exercises like calisthenics and stuff like that. You know, like saying, oh, I'm a manly man. I was not just snuggling in bed with another man.
Yeah. I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
and you know, asking questions about the recent Bears game. Let's talk football. What did you see on ESPN? That kind of stuff.
Exactly. So then at that point, they go, you see the Bears game last week? Yeah, hell of a game. Hell of a game. Bears have got a great team this year. They're going to go all the way. Yeah, yeah. And now I did a little bit of research on this one, because this is a case where they're talking about a future game. Okay, because this movie takes place – you know, Thanksgiving week of 1987. And basically when it was filmed earlier in the year, I mean, we know that it was filmed sometime after May, because on the airplane, we see that Neil is reading a GQ article from a May 1987 GQ, which features Kevin Costner on it. You know, back to the Silverado
Yes.
connections there. So this was filmed sometime after that May GQ issue came out, or at least that part was. So they basically had to try to prophesize what was going to happen with the Bears, you know, by talking about the fact that oh, did you see the Bears game last week? Oh, it was such a great game. It was nice and thrilling and stuff like that. Which I'm gonna divert a little bit. I remember 1891. So I grew up in Detroit, and the TV show Home Improvement took place in
Yes.
Detroit. And I believe it was during the first season that there's a point where Tim Allen's character has to go to a dinner in a restaurant, and he doesn't want to go because there's a football game that he wants to go to. And what he ends up doing is he brings a radio with him in order to listen to the football game as it's happening. Now they mention the game. I was actually at that game.
Oh, wow.
Okay, obviously it was filmed a few months earlier. So they knew the schedule and they knew that they were playing the Rams. And so throughout the episode they're talking about the fact that there's a Lions game against the Rams. And you know, he's talking about the play-by-play throughout this dinner party that he's or the in the restaurant. And this particular game, there was a player named Mike Utley who was actually paralyzed in that game.
Wow.
I was at that game and I saw this happen. I was all the way up nosebleed section, so I was very curious as to why everything stopped. You know, you don't really know what's going on at that point because you're so far away. But then a few weeks later, I saw this episode and he's talking about the fact that he wants to go to this game. And it's just really funny that they happened to choose a game where someone predominantly was paralyzed in the game, and obviously, you know, they couldn't foresee something like this. So in this movie, they do something very similar because if they filmed this 6 months earlier and they're talking about the Bears game. Okay, so in mid-November of 1987, the Bears actually had two. I mean, that was apparently there was a strike that year, and there was a few weeks where the actual Bears didn't play. Most of the teams had replacement players. And then in the middle of October, they actually came back. And they had two games in November. There was a game on Monday Night Football, November 16th, against the Denver Broncos. Okay, so again, this right now we're talking, this is Wednesday morning. So we're talking that this is the 25th of November. So that's possibly 11 days earlier, you know, for Monday Night Football. And then on the 22nd, which was the previous Sunday, there was a game against the Lions. Okay, so, you know, it could be that they're referring to either of those games because he said last week. So the irony of it is that the game against the Lions, which took place 3 days before this scene takes place, they blew the Lions away and they won 30-10. The game the week before against the Broncos was apparently a nail biter, and the Bears lost 29-31
Wow.
in the last few seconds of the game. Okay, now it's just amazing that they make this comment about, did you see that game? It was a hell of a game, and apparently it was. This was the first time that the Bears, it was their first loss in 26 games where Jim McMahon, you know, their top quarterback was the starter. And it was the first loss in the regular season for the Bears in that year. And they actually had a huge lead at certain points. And twice they lost the lead, which they ended up losing.
Wow.
Now, I'm not a football fan. It might sound like after I just explained all this that I am a football fan. I am not a football fan at all. I remember the 85 Bears winning. I remember the whole thing with the what did they do? They
Super
did the
Bowl
Super
shuffle,
Bowl
yeah, with
shuffle.
McMahon. That's what I recall.
Yeah. Yeah, which I actually just rewatched today just to refresh my memory of it. It was pretty funny watching that. And basically the Bears in 85 and 86 were the first team to win more than 14 games back to back in a season. And so and this in the year before in 86 and in 87 after this scene takes place, they were knocked out of the first game in the playoffs. So it was just
Yeah.
pretty interesting, the whole you know, the connection to it. I remember when always thinking about talking about the Bears. And I always said to myself, oh, I wonder what the game was that was that they were talking about. But ironically, they were actually talking about something that was really a nail biter.
Really, really going on. Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just it is fascinating the way the both of them are shaking it off. Just like the reactions are very like I as you were saying.
First of all, they're very different.
Yeah,
they're very different.
Yeah, but they were both like we were talking earlier this week about the skills at improv, and it's definitely okay. This is the situation. You want to show that you're a manly man after jumping out of after cuddling in bed together. So whatever comes to mind, and that's what this has a very improv feel about it, which comes across very well.
Yeah, and then you see Neil walk towards the bathroom, and then you see Dell look like he's about to retch.
Yeah,
he like makes a. He just like bends his whole body over, like he's about to just completely throw up from everything that happens there.
Wow.
You know.
And then Neil walks into what is probably the best lit bathroom I've ever seen. He has such incredible even lighting. It's the perfect fill light, and how he doesn't look down is beyond me on this because
I don't know that either. He's well, again, he did just wake up, so you got to give him credit for that. You know, and who would have thought that something would go amiss at this point.
Yeah.
So he's standing there. He turns out. I like the fact that they still keep all of the towel rack completely empty.
Yeah.
You know, they're keeping with the continuity there. So you don't have to worry about that one.
Yeah.
And he turns on the water. We hear the water running. We hear him. We see him put his hands down into the water. You know, he starts splashing water onto his face. He looks in the mirror. I mean, it's great the way that they're just showing us Neil. You know, they're setting this up really, really well.
Yeah, you don't even know what horrors he's about to experience, but it's just it feels like, oh, okay, just waking up, wasting water on his face, start the day, and then we
exactly, and then he picks up his hands, and as he's patting his face down with the water that he splashed on it, he realizes his hands start to smell a little bit, so then he looks down, and we see a very dirty sink with. With a pair of at least one
socks,
pair
yeah, big
of
green socks.
Socks
and the
in there.
The sink is filthy and it's surrounded by what we're assuming I guess is Bell's accoutrements and he's got
right. Well, it's not we're not assuming because 2 weeks ago we actually saw this scene and we were my guest and I actually it was Alan Sanders was my guest 2 weeks ago and the two of us dove into all of the different products that are sitting that you can recognize. So yeah, there's and it's nice the fact that. That hasn't changed. You know, they still have the continuity of all of those things sitting on the countertop there.
Yeah, just everything you don't want to touch.
Exactly. And he is just completely disgusted by this whole thing. And you see he's clenching his teeth and face and doesn't know what to do. So he reaches over to take a towel. Now, you'd think that he would remember that there are no towels.
Yeah.
And instead he pulls a pair of Dell's underwear and starts drying his face with it and realizes quite quickly that the fabric is not what you would think it would be for a towel.
Yeah, those jockeys are a little bit thin.
Yeah. And now my question is when did Dell have time to do this? You know, wouldn't Neil have noticed at some point that he went into the bathroom and said, I'm going to go be washing my clothes? I mean, obviously Dell is used to this. Dell is a traveling salesman. He knows that if he's going to need to clean his underwear, he needs to clean his socks, he's going to have to do it in this type of way. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
You'd think that at some point, Neil would have noticed or paid a little bit of attention to this whole thing. Now, these underwear look relatively dry. It's not as if he pulled them out of the... So why would they have just been sitting there?
Yeah, are they used underwear? Are they new underwear? It's
I don't even want to go there.
Or... Yeah. And I noticed that they are a lot more – they are much grayer than the undershirt that Neil is wearing.
Yeah.
So it's – you have a feeling that they're a little bit more used over time, if nothing else.
Yeah.
They're a little bit – they've seen a lot of miles on those.
No question about that. And as the minute is ending, we hear – Dell scream out from the other room, hey, Neil. And people are going to have to come back on Monday to find out actually what he says there.
It's a mystery for the weekend.
Mystery for the weekend, yes. So do you have anything else for this minute?
No, that's great. I wish. I mean, I just it's funny. I've redone my bathrooms here. We're updating. I'm trying to drive the 70s out of our house. We have these large globes that were hanging from the ceiling, and we put in can lights in the ceiling of our bathroom. And I look so much better in the morning now that I have these. And when I saw Steve Martin, I thought he's got can lights in this place because I can identify with really nice fill lighting in a bathroom when you're combing your hair. But that was my takeaway for this particular minute.
Okay, that's fair. So there are a few slight discrepancies in the script from what they actually filmed. So when Neil asks, "Where's your other hand?" So Del's response is, "I'm not sure." So Neil then says to him, "Find it, Del." And then it says, "Del thinks another beat. His hand emerges from under Neil's pillow." Okay, and then so you know.
Yeah.
His hand was under his pillow. It wasn't between two pillows, as they mentioned. And then the two of them decide that they're going to count to three before they jump out of bed. You know, they're just going to basically close their eyes and jump out of bed. You know, and then they have them counting off to three. And then it says, Del and Neil burst out of the bed, screaming and shivering with revulsion. And then we get to the point where Neil is in the bathroom with dealing with the socks in the sink. And then we get to see Del sitting on the edge of the bed, clipping his toenails, watching cartoons on TV, which I'm glad they cut out because we want to still believe that Del is just as revulsed about everything that just happens here.
Yeah, yeah. Oof.
And then we have the whole part with the underwear that they continue with here about the fact that he realizes the fabric is not the same fabric that one normally uses on bath towels. Yep. So
yikes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What can I say?
How much popcorn did they sell during this movie? Because I don't think you want to eat after some of the stuff. if you're sipping on a Coke and you're watching that sock filled sink, it just kind of your appetite goes right out the window.
I can definitely understand that. All right. Well, every Friday we have a segment we call Weekend Candy, where my guest gets to tell us their top five movies by John Candy.
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, unfortunately, John Candy left us too early because I would love to have seen him in a bunch more films, I think, as we all would.
I think there are a lot really of people in that boat with you.
Yeah, he was a talent tornado, and just he took up the screen and did it perfectly. Everything, you know, when he was on screen, you focused on what he was doing because he was just amazing in his comedic skills. My top five will count down from five. My fifth favorite John Candy film was one that he only did the voice from. He was in the Ralph Bakshi movie Heavy Metal. He did the voice of the character named Ben, who was this kind of asthmatic 12-year-old boy who gets thrown into another universe, and he wakes up in like a Conan the Barbarian kind of world, and he's this big muscular bald guy who looks like, you know, just ready for a fight. But it's John Candy's voice coming out of this big, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger type guy. and he's just, I think I'm going to play it tough on here. And he starts picking on these aliens and stuff and breaking chains and busting heads and stuff. If you get a chance to see Heavy Metal.
I've actually never seen it. So I will now add that to my watch list.
Yeah. Yeah. The short story in the middle called Den. He is perfect in that. And just a very enjoyable one. Number four. I don't think this is an uncommon one. I enjoyed him as Ox in the movie, Stripes. Great. Harold Ramis film. He does the, Vincent D'Orofino, type, character in the army instead of the Marines, but he does such a great job being the character that he needed to be. I enjoy the mud wrestling, and he just seemed like you were there to be part of his enjoyment of the movie. So that's a great film, good uplifting bit of acting on the part of John Candy. Number three. National Lampoon's Vacation, the impossible to forget
Wally World.
Job as Lasky, the guard at Wally World. Moose should have told you up front, park's closed. It's, you know, he's only in the movie, but he takes, I remember him more than I remember the Chevy Chase roles. He's such a perfect button on that film. He's got the job for there. Number two is, of course, Blues Brothers. He plays Burton Mercer, the detective that's with the Illinois State Troopers, and there's so many quotable scenes from him getting after the car chase and having him in a crushed trooper car, and he's holding onto the microphone saying, "Hey, we're in a truck," you know, and or when he's at the Blues Brothers concert asking all the other officers if they'd like an orange whip. Orange whip, orange whip, orange whip. It's perfect. I'm sure if other people have been asked this, I can't be the only one who enjoys this as their favorite John Candy movie. But one of his greatest roles was a bit of a comedy, but it was mostly a drama. And it was Only the Lonely.
I love that movie.
Maureen O'Hara and Ally Sheedy. That movie is it's so heartfelt. It's such a... In terms of a romantic comedy, it's very endearing. I am Irish, and I've had Irish mothers and grandmothers who were just if you did something wrong, the scorn that would fall on you because of all the things you were worrying about happening to your mom. I could identify so much with John Candy.
Well, I'm not Irish. I'm Jewish, but I still have the same issues.
same. Yes, I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood in New Jersey, and I know we all had the same type of parents. But it's just you feel it's not guilt. It's just this constant oppressive feeling that you're failing. You are a failure in life if you haven't made your mom happy. You have failed. And if you haven't seen it, I envy people who haven't seen Only the Lonely, because if they do see it, they're really in for a treat. It's such a beautiful, wonderful, romantic film. I can't imagine not enjoying this movie. And it is really, I mean, for the limited filmography that we have of John Candy, it probably is his greatest acting role. So strong recommendations here.
All right. And every day we also have our segment Off the Beaten Track. So Jim will now give us one more adventure or misadventure that he has had over his lifetime to tell us about.
Okay, this is a movie. This is a movie scene that influenced me when I was a little kid, and something I was able to fulfill when I was an adult. When I was a little kid, one of my favorite movies was Mary Poppins. I loved Mary Poppins. I loved everything about it. I loved the music. I loved the acting. Even Dick Van Dyke's bad Cockney accent was fine. It was such a beautiful film, and it really gave me a love for London. I'd been to London a couple of times, but I never saw the London that was in Mary Poppins. I later went to work for a British aircraft company. I would work in the UK, and I was there by myself. I had nothing to do. I worked there for about 6 weeks and at a stretch for different years. And I'd have nothing to do. I'd go out by myself. And I thought, I always wanted to see what the rooftops of London would look like, because I saw, you know, Step in Time and Chim Chimmery. They'd be singing all these different songs. So I was in the Whitechapel section of London, and I found a block of flats, an apartment complex, where there was a stairway that was open. The door was open, and I went up the stairway, and I found a door that would open up to the roof. And this was, I mean, I could have been arrested. I could have, you know, I could have gotten in trouble, international problems. But I was up at this, and I opened the door to the roof, and I stepped out on this roof in the Whitechapel section of London. And I looked around, and I could see St. Paul's Cathedral and the Jewel Tower where Big Ben is, and looked down on the toward the Thames and the Canary Wharfs and things. And I thought, wow, the rooftops of London, cool, what a sight, just like the Sherman Brothers wrote. And I was by myself. I was in my 20s, and it was just one of those things that I didn't have anybody to share this with because it's all by myself, but it was like being in a Mary Poppins film. And that was, you know, more than a lifetime ago, but I still think about that night on the rooftop of London, and, you know, thinking, but there weren't apparent dancing chimney sweeps, but it was okay.
And you didn't try going into one of the chimneys, did you?
No. I was terribly convinced I was going to be arrested and Interpol would be involved, and there would be an international, you know, criminal. But apparently nobody cared.
Apparently.
So
they're like, another one of those stupid Americans thinking they're Mary Poppins.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But it was fine by me. That was that I
Wow,
had a good
such a
time.
great story. Thank you very much for that. So you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Yes, all of my works are available at jimokane.com, JIMOKANE .com. And you can find all the previous podcasts I've done, things like the Airport Minute and Apollo 13 Minute and oh gosh, Rocketeer Minute and Die Hard and all these other ones, and including the current one that we're working on with you'll be in it as well. And the
Months from
movies
now,
by
months from
minutes,
now.
months from, but it comes up fast and it'll be out there forever. So, but all the movies by minutes, or as many as I could get, the movies by minutes hosts have come out, and we're each doing a week of the 1985 Western Silverado. 1 minute of screen time per episode. Everybody gets 5 minutes out of credit, and you get all different kinds of viewpoints. Think of it as a Whitman sampler, and it's there. It's like when you go to a Chinese restaurant and they have the poo-poo platter. This is the poo-poo platter of movies by minutes
Did you
host.
say
But
poo-poo
you can go
platter?
poo-poo platter. They're perfect, you know, just a nice appetizer, as it were. Try a week of somebody's shows, and you can find out if you like how they're reviewing Silverado. Maybe you'd like their movies by minutes show. By the way, I usually promote this on Fridays anyway, but Movies by Minutes is a group of dozens of great hosts that talk about movies. We all talk way too much about movies, but apparently there's a lot of people that like listening way
Apparently.
too much about movies. So it all evens out. So if you want to listen to, we have at the time we're recording this over 200 different Movies by Minutes shows out there. Find it at moviesbyminutes.com. You will not be disappointed. Chances are your favorite movie's out there. And if it's not, now's your chance to start your own show.
I did it.
I did it. Rob did
I
it.
did
You,
it twice.
yeah. You, so, yeah. See, and you know, it's like eating salted peanuts. You just got to go back for more. So if you want to try it out, go look and see if your movie's not out there. Make your own show. We'd happy to have you as part of the Movies by Minute ever expanding team of people that talk too much about movies. But we're happy to have you.
All right,
Moviesbyminutes.com.
excellent. And to find me, just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find my website, you can find me on Twitter, and you can find me on Facebook. Jim, I want to once again thank you very much for taking the time to be a part of this week. Even though this isn't one of your favorite movies, you still did a stellar job here. So I appreciate that.
I appreciate you having me on. It's like as we said earlier in the week, sometimes it's better if it's not your favorite movie, because you can take a step back and think, well, what is it about this movie I didn't like, and why didn't I like that part? So we had a great conversations here, and hopefully having
That
more
is
in the
true.
future.
All right. Well, everyone have a great weekend. And until Monday, you're fired.
Yeah, basically you're fired.
Yeah.